HABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the summer concert in Dawson Park, featuring a live performance by Bamba y su Pilon de Azúcar Band on Wednesday, July 29th at 6:30 p.m. The mission of Summer Concerts in the Park is to bring cultural diversity to metropolitan area residents. Bamba y su Pilon de Azúcar Band play a full range of popular and traditional salsa, son cubano, timba, and tropical styles as cumbia, merengue, y bachata. Again, that's the summer concert in Dawson Park with Bamba y su Pilon de Azúcar Band on Wednesday, July 29th at 6:30 p.m. Dawson Park is located at North Stanton and North Williams Avenue in Portland. More information about ticket prices and directions can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
HABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of 70 years after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the ever-present nuclear threat, Thursday, August 6th, at the Japanese American Historical Plaza at Waterfront Park in Portland. 70 years after Hiroshima and Nagasaki will feature speakers and performers, including Portland Taiko, and will provide opportunities for attendees to get involved in efforts to abolish nuclear weapons. That's 70 years after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The ever-present nuclear threat, Thursday, August 6th, 6 p.m. at the Japanese American Historical Plaza at Northwest NATO Parkway and Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 6 p.m. and you're listening to KBOO. Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio. Coming up next at 6 is Labor Radio, followed by Prison Pipeline at 6:30, followed by The River Signal at 7. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Aladdin Theater, presenting an evening with Leon Russell, Tuesday, August 11th. Tickets and information for Leon Russell are available at aladdin-theater.com.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio. My name's John Walsh, your host tonight. Danielle Parks is the engineer. We're going to talk about an emblematic struggle of injured workers, one that's approaching an anniversary that no one would have imagined possible. 4 years of continuous occupation in front of the U.S. Embassy in Bogota, Colombia, by Asotricol, which is the Association of Injured Workers and Ex-Workers of General Motors Colombia. Jorge Parra, the president of Asotricol, somebody who's well known to many activists in the United States, is going to join us by telephone to share this epic fight for justice and dignity for injured workers. And once he's on the phone, we're going to have a bilingual show here because it'll be necessary to speak with Jorge in Spanish and to translate that to English. Buenas noches a todos y todas. Una lucha emblemática de los trabajadores enfermos está acercando un aniversario impensable. 4 años de huelga continua en las carpas frente a la Embajada de los Estados Unidos en Bogotá, Colombia, por Asotricol, la Asociación de Trabajadores y Ex-Trabajadores Enfermos de General Motors Colmotores. Jorge Parra, presidente de Asotricol y bien conocido por muchas personas acá, activistas en los Estados Unidos, va a estar con nosotros por teléfono para compartir esta batalla épica por justicia y dignidad. While we're trying to make the connection, let me give you a brief rundown of some of the history of this struggle. Those of us from Portland first met Asotricol and Jorge in November of 2011 on a delegation to Colombia, a Witness for Peace delegation that I coordinated myself, and which included two other folks from Portland plus other North Americans, including a Canadian. We got to know them at that time in the carpas. They already were in occupation, of course, in front of the embassy, and stayed in touch subsequently. One of the members of that delegation, Gail Francis, from at that time Michigan, managed through contacts and friends and help from Labor Notes and people in the United Auto Workers to get Jorge an invitation to the U.S. He came in May of 2012 to attend the Labor Notes convention, was on a panel there, got to know and meet and make the acquaintance of many people. And also we drove over to Michigan, to Ann Arbor and to Detroit, where Jorge met with United Auto Workers, including the president at that time of the UAW, Bob King. Not unexpectedly, but was possible to meet with him and share face-to-face the struggle of these General Motors workers. At that time, of course, GM was largely owned by U.S. Citizens, taxpayers, thanks to the bailout of that corporation by the U.S. government. Jorge went back to Colombia, very hopeful these contacts would produce results for Azotray Coal. That did not happen. So Azotray Coal, at the beginning of August 2012, launched a hunger strike. They not only went on strike, hunger strike, they also sewed their lips physically shut and were present in the tents in front of the U.S. Embassy that way, very visibly manifesting their situation and their struggle. Got a great deal of attention doing that. And after a series of false starts, eventually achieved something I think unprecedented, which was a mediation in Colombia with General Motors conducted by the U.S. Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service. That mediation, gaining it in itself was a big achievement, but unfortunately there was no process to ensure an end, an outcome to the mediation. And it was very brief. It was funded insufficiently to last long enough to address the complicated and difficult issues involved, and left the workers without a resolution. There were offers made that were insufficient, inadequate, and not enough time to work through a process to get to a just resolution. After that, Jorge came to the U.S. a second time in September, came to the U.S. to bring his case directly to Detroit and to the corporate offices of General Motors, which basically stonewalled and refused to meet with him. To some extent, we're willing to meet with intermediaries, but essentially unwilling to address the substantive issues involved. So Jorge stayed in the U.S., continued trying to make advances in pressuring for a solution to his case, went to Washington, D.C., met with people there in both government agencies and the legislative side, came out to Portland, where many of us got to know him because of his stay here from October through November of 2012, and then went to Detroit. Detroit, of course, being the hub of this struggle, being the core of General Motors as far as both management and also labor, being the headquarters of United Auto Workers, to whom we looked for support, solidarity, and help in finding ways to resolve the issue of Azotray Coal. These workers, what had happened to them is they were hurt on the job in Colombia at the assembly plant that General Motors has there. It's a subsidiary of General Motors in Colombia. Hurt in a variety of ways, what they had in common is that rather than being treated in accordance with Colombian law and basic decency, rather than being provided medical treatment, disability pay, other jobs they might be able to do, they were essentially kicked to the curb one way or another. Some were fired, some were pressured to sign quote-unquote voluntary resignations. Some were dismissed on charges based on whatever could be concocted. But one way or another, they were kicked to the curb without receiving medical care, which they'll need for their lifetimes, they and their families, without receiving disability compensation, and certainly without receiving retraining and placement in other jobs they might be able to do. Very important to know that this situation affects not only the workers, of course, but also their families. One unique feature of meeting with these workers the first time was that so many families, spouses, and children were present, and it gave a very, very clear and obvious view of who it is who's harmed by situations such as this. That's been the case ever since, because what's happened in the course of the extended struggle is workers go without income, they lose their homes. One by one, they've lost homes, so they and their families are put out in the street again, first from the workplace and then from their homes. People who need medical care don't get it. People go hungry. A great deal of consequences that befall not only the workers, but also their families. The time in the U.S. that Jorge was here ended in March of 2013, went back to Colombia, still hopeful that the process there, the legal and administrative process, might, with the pressure from all the publicity and all the international solidarity, achieve some progress for the workers. That, however, still has not happened. The workers launched other actions. They, on the next anniversary of the tent encampment, did a symbolic crucifixion, lashing themselves to a wooden cross in front of the U.S. Embassy. On the following anniversary, they buried themselves up to the neck in the ground, manifesting again the consequences of what's happening for them. None of this has gotten through. None of this has been able to get a response from either government or corporate authorities that would address the issue. There have been meetings, there have been discussions. There have been various people, various groups that have tried to, including members of Congress, tried to put in a good word, to put in their best offices to gain a solution, still without reaching one. So what we have now is workers who have gone years, and who are the tip of the iceberg, probably, because these are the ones who have the guts and the commitment to make a stand, to fight for their rights. But others that they know about were not in that position, or for one reason or another, not able to carry on this sort of struggle. But these workers continue to fight, and as they've done so, have realized that they represent not just themselves, not just one industry, but also other sectors of the economy in Colombia, and indeed other workers worldwide. If you talk to people who do physical work, you're going to find a bunch of them who have injuries on the job, either themselves or know someone who does, and can relate pretty personally to some of these experiences. So this case is definitely one that speaks not only to the case of the workers themselves, but also to many others worldwide, in fact. We're still trying to get Jorge on the phone. It's difficult sometimes to connect with Colombia. Occasionally, we've had difficulties with phone calls where we think perhaps someone is not wanting us to connect with Colombia. You don't know what's going on at the moment, but we're still trying to get Jorge on the phone so he can talk with us about what's going on at this moment in the struggle there. It is important to note that the next anniversary of the occupation in the tents is coming up at the beginning of August. It will be the fourth anniversary of the tent occupation. And that obviously is a landmark date for the workers. So I think it'll be very much worth our staying attentive to what this anniversary brings and how it's possible to perhaps use that occasion, that date, that landmark as a way to find a way to make progress forward for the workers. I've still been trying to get Jorge connected here without being able to have accomplished that so far. So we'll keep on trying. We'll keep on trying. Hope we're able to. Many of us here, as I say, had the chance to meet Jorge and to understand that we're talking about people who are very creative and very resourceful and very intelligent and self-educated. We're talking about workers, not lawyers. We're talking about people who have not had formal roles in something like union leadership, where they've gone through bargaining sessions and arbitrations, mediations. We're talking about folks who are primarily welders or painters or assemblers, mechanics, people who did jobs of that sort and had to, once their circumstances forced them, to self-educate, to learn ways that are effective to protest, to learn ways that are effective to treat situations such as their own, to become better informed about laws and procedures and international standards. To build contacts. These workers by now have contacted fellows, also injured workers in many other countries, not only in South America and North America, but also in Europe and also in Asia. So their struggles extended worldwide, literally. And to say it's emblematic, I think, is by no means a stretch. Also, of course, the corporation involved, as many others, is also international, transnational, and spans many continents. And you can expect that what happens in one is probably going to be indicative of what could happen someplace else as well, including in North America, which is why this struggle is one that affects not only the workers immediately and directly and presently involved, but also we ourselves, particularly in the future, particularly going forward. Part of the background for it that's particularly timely for us in the U.S. right now is the erosion of labor law protections in Colombia that preceded this situation. There were a series of reforms, quote-unquote, to labor law that paved the way for union busting in Colombia, which made it the case that there was not, as there had been formerly, a strong union in the assembly plant in Bogota able to protect the rights of these workers. There is still a union, much diminished. There are others who've attempted to organize either a new union or new organizations. So there are efforts, there's certainly militancy and core groups, but there's not a strong, powerful voice in the workplace for the workers to counteract the strong and powerful voice of the boss. And we see in the U.S., of course, efforts to with right to work, with effects to allow people to be free riders, with the demands for concessions and givebacks. We see a trend in that same direction. And for us here, this is a cautionary tale of where that leads in one particular example. Other effects, of course, as well. But one thing that I think became clearer both to Jorge and to us, the more time he spent in the U.S., is what some of the parallels are, and therefore what their struggle means for us here in the North. We're still attempting to connect. I'm sorry we have not been able to so far. That is the nature of trying to do something live, as you understand, I'm sure. We're continuing to see if we can make that connection and get him on the phone, hoping for the best with that. If we don't, I'm sure we'll have more updates on what happens come the beginning of the month in Colombia. So I'm going to encourage you to pay attention to news sources that are alternative rather than mainstream and see what that anniversary might bring and what it tells us about the struggle going forward. As I said, one thing that has happened in recent times in the Colombian struggle is the recognition that not only is it auto workers who face this situation, it's also coal miners, it's also employees of other corporations, North American corporations such as Coca-Cola, it's also port workers, it's also workers in the sugarcane sector. And many of these are covered ostensibly by the U.S.-Colombia quote-unquote labor action plan, something that paved the way for the free trade agreement between the U.S. and Colombia. That was resisted in Congress and stopped for many years, having been negotiated under the governments of President Bush in the U.S. and President Uribe in Colombia. That was something that was resisted successfully based on the abuses of labor rights and of union leaders and union activists in Colombia. The labor action plan supposedly was going to address that, was going to change things. We see in the case of these workers that for them at least it has not succeeded, and certainly not due to lack of awareness by U.S. authorities, with the workers themselves being directly in front of the U.S. embassy. As the phrase goes on one of the placards posted on the tents, the labor action plan can be considered a failure right under the nose of the U.S. embassy, certainly in the case of these workers, and therefore a challenge to U.S. politicians, to U.S. leadership, to fulfill promises that they made. When the labor action plan was agreed, when the free trade agreement went into effect, and to actually deliver in terms of conditions, real-life conditions, not words on paper, but real-life conditions for working people in Colombia who still lack direct employment, still lack the ability to maintain a strong union, still face threats and violence, and still obviously when they're hurt on the job do not have reliable compensation, treatment, and a fair resolution to their situation. So again, one of the reasons the struggle was so powerful in the U.S. is the direct link to both the U.S. employer, the corporation, General Motors, but also to the U.S. government, who at the time was a major owner of General Motors. So we're talking about the role of the United States, not only politically, not only as a trading partner, not only as an embassy, but also as a owner in considerable measure of the corporation that was responsible or is responsible in this case. And although the ownership situations change, the responsibility, of course, is ongoing given when this stuff happens. So it's a real challenge to many of the claims made by politicians in North America, and one that won't go away, one that continues until the situation is resolved. These workers have shown that they're not going anywhere. They fight a fight based on necessity, and they really don't have another way to solve the basic needs that they face. Surgery costs much more than these workers can afford, and if you have your back held together by screws inserted in your spinal column, you're going to need surgeries. These are young men. These are men in their 40s, 30s, who walk with canes. That's not normal. That's not something you expect to see. They have children, they have families to provide for. They're not able to do the work they did formerly. In some cases, it's visibly obvious that they're disabled, and that keeps them from getting hired in the first place. In other cases, it becomes obvious pretty quickly once they're on the job. So that's very much limited their possibilities for employment and therefore the ability to provide. People from North America have been very committed, very diligent in doing what they can to support the workers and their families, to help them survive despite the severe challenges that they face. I'm sure many listeners have themselves committed their support and been crucial in making it possible for the struggle to continue, to feed the struggle, literally speaking. So the solidarity in this case has many, many layers, but is especially valuable north and south, given the connections in this particular struggle and the capabilities that we have from the U.S., from North America, to make a real difference. So big thanks to everybody who has been committed and helpful. And also, again, with the anniversary coming up, if you check out in your area, folks have been active in solidarity, you may well find that they're planning to manifest that in tangible ways, be in the streets on that particular occasion, this Saturday being the anniversary. So check out your networks and see what's going on Saturday. You may find that there are ways for you to raise your voice, to express your solidarity, to show yourself to be on the side of these workers at this time in particular, when it helps both to bring the message home in North America, but also to encourage the workers to see they have support, to see they have solidarity. Still haven't been able to get Jorge on the phone. I'm sorry to tell you that news. And if we don't get him now, maybe we'll try and record him on another occasion and get that recording on, so at least you have that direct contact with him, even if it's not live. You can find, by the way, archive shows with Jorge on KBOO's website, www.kboo.fm. We've had him on air both live and recorded several times. So if you want to go back through the history of this, you can find some of the shows that were done previously over the years. This being, as I've said, a four-year-long, nearly, in our case, a direct connection and more than four-year-long struggle on the part of the workers. So there's quite a bit of work out there. You can also, if you go to the web and do a search for Asotrecol, A-S-O-T-R-E-C-O-L, you can find a large number of various sorts of stories, both video and written stories on this struggle, and much more information about what the workers have done, and about what their needs are, about what their demands are, about what's going on with this struggle. Their website is www.asotrecol.org. You can also, I'm sure, find many articles, videos, just by Googling Asotrecol, and see what all they have done through the years of very creative protest. What perhaps distinguishes this struggle from many others is the creativity and the commitment of the protests that these workers have undertaken, sewing their lips shut while on hunger strike, tying themselves to a cross, burying themselves up to their neck in the ground. These things are very self-sacrificing. They're also very dramatic, and their location directly in front of the U.S. Embassy makes them very obvious, inescapable for people who should be acting to resolve the situation. The most recent thing they did was chain themselves to the gates of the embassy, at which point there was a very forceful removal of them. One of the workers was hurled to the ground and suffered injuries as a result. He wasn't even one of the ones trained. So the reaction that there's been has not been one that's been one of seeking a solution. It's one of been trying to dismiss the problem, to sweep it under the rug, to make it harder for the workers to persist in the struggle. And as often the case in labor struggles, if as much energy had gone into solving it as has gone into fighting it, we could be all in a much better place right now. So one hopes that at some point that will get through, that at some point, whether through pressure, through persuasion, through perseverance, that in some fashion that people in a position to solve this problem will do so, that they will reach out, they'll make a proposal, that maybe a third party would step up and make a proposal, that there'll be a way to find a solution that provides what any decent resolution of an injury in the workplace should. There'll be medical treatment for the workers. There'll be compensation for their lost earning capacity or the replacement of the job they formerly had with one they are now able to do. That there'll be provision for what they've lost in the meantime. These workers have gone without wages for many, many months. Certainly they should be made whole for that as well. And that not only for them, but for many others in that situation, that this will be a way that the justice is finally won, although at very great cost to the people who fought hardest and been the vanguard of this particular struggle. They have won improvements for other workers within the plant. The plant in Bogota, which was considered something that reportedly folks who toured it, who were experts in the subject, said no U.S. worker would work in because of the lack of ergonomic arrangements and safe conditions. The plant's been modernized. The plant's been upgraded. Workers are not getting fired when they get hurt now. So the effect of the struggle has been to get a change in practices, to get a change in working conditions, also to get a change in personnel and management positions in Colombia. But none of that has benefited the workers, who are the ones who had the guts to stand up and say, this is wrong, it should be changed, it should be better, it should be fixed. They themselves have not gotten the benefit of their own struggle, and it's more than time for that to have happened. One hopes that this year will be the year, one day longer, and one of the slogans we know from the union movement here, one day longer is certainly going to be what it takes for them. And also it's very obvious that an injury to one quite literally is an injury to all, be they in the same country, be they in different countries, that North and South, if you get hurt on the job, you should be cared for medically, you should be made whole economically, your family should not have to suffer because you lost not only your job, but your health on the job. These are things that are basic human rights, that are a matter of basic human dignity, and it's time for them to be recognized and to be honored, not only in Colombia, not only for Asociación de Coal, but everywhere in the U.S. and worldwide. Certainly with General Motors claiming to be the new General Motors, to have turned over a new leaf, to have new leadership, it's an opportunity that should not be missed if that corporation wishes to make good on its pledges, wishes to have its image be what it would like it to be. One hopes this is the year. Well, it's pretty obvious we're not going to be able to make the connection at this point. Sorry to have not been able to do that. We will try again to get Jorge on the show one way or another. Maybe we can bring back some audio from Colombia, have a chance to sit with him and talk in person when telephones are not an issue and no one can come between us, and be able to bring it back in that fashion and share it with you after having interviewed him directly face-to-face. That's probably our best option at this point. So thank you all very much for listening. Again, if you want to go back and check past shows and hear Jorge's voice, look at www.kboo.fm on the Labor Radio section for this program. Go back a ways and you should find archive shows with Jorge Parra. And we will get him on one way or another in the future. We will do that, probably by bringing back audio from Colombia, as I said. So apologies for not having been able to get him on the show tonight. Thank you for listening. We will try again. We will get him on the show eventually. And please stay tuned this weekend for the next steps, the next moves in the struggle of Asociación de Coal in Colombia. This is the fourth anniversary. I'm sure that they'll observe it. They'll mark it in some way. And we'll see what that is and what develops going forward. Their solidarity need is great, and we here are in a position to provide much of what is necessary to reach a fair and just solution. So please stay vigilant and ready, and your support is very much welcomed and appreciated. Thank you for listening to Labor Radio tonight. Sorry we were not able to make the connection. As I say, we will work to get Jorge back on Labor Radio one way or another before too much longer. Thank you and good night.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the MLK Dream Run, the weekend of August 1st and August 2nd. The 5, 10, and 15K runs will take you through the charming and historic retail, residential, and parkscapes of the Seoul District. The run and weekend events include music, food, and entertainment after the run and exist to honor Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, delivered in Washington, D.C., August 1963, during the March for Jobs and Equality. Again, that's the MLK Dream Run, the weekend of August 1st and 2nd at the corner of Northeast Martin Luther King and Alberta in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you can hear this voice alerting you that
you are about to cross the border.
And then follow the footsteps to a two-hour-long sustained environment of uninterrupted sonic art or new electronic, experimental, or postmodern music. Audio that breaks and rewrites the rules to create entirely new worlds of sound. Where will you be on Mondays at 8 when the door slams shut? Here on KBOO Portland.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad.
Who's anymore? They won't build no hospital.